I speak to you in the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So there are three things we are not supposed to talk about in polite company. Anybody know any one of them? Politics, money, and religion. Okay, we're off to a great start. Except for we're in church, so I'm definitely talking about religion. It's why we're all here today. And money? Jesus was pretty clear that he had a whole lot to say about money. He didn't care about being polite. And to even mention the word politics at St. Cross, I just got an oh dear. Some of you, your toes just curled up. I know it, especially with this gospel. And I'm here to say Jesus was always political. Always. Partisan? No. Political? Absolutely. But I'm not going to go there today. You get to draw your own conclusion on that one. But we are going to talk about religion and money. So, somebody comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, settle this dispute with my family. Man, I don't think you can be in Western society and not know of a family who has had a dispute over such a thing. And Jesus says, oh, that is not my role, but let's talk about the role of wealth. And so he takes this moment to engage in what does it mean in society, and what role does it play for us. And I will say this parable is a rough one for most of us here at St. Cross. 401k, Social Security, other investments, retirement. I think about it. My husband and I, we talk about it probably once a week it comes up, right? And so Jesus, we're gonna wrestle with this some, but this is a parable that makes us uncomfortable. And if it makes us uncomfortable, then maybe we should dig into it a little bit deeper. Because Jesus, well, we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get there in a moment. So this man is an interesting man in this parable. If you notice, Jesus doesn't call him any names, doesn't call him greedy, doesn't call him wicked. He's not like the wicked tenant or the wicked farmer. He's just a guy who goes out and has really good crops and then has to decide what to do with what he's been given. And he goes through this thing of like, well, I better tear down my perfectly good barns and go build bigger ones to store everything. Which, you know, we live in the South Bay. You're okay to tear down your barn as long as you leave one wall so that your property taxes stay the same, right? We do, right? But this is a struggle in our community. And Jesus is not saying you can't do that. Jesus is not condemning our 401ks if you are so fortunate. But what Jesus is bringing to light, one of my favorite commentators, David Loos, calls the unholy trinity in our lives. Me, myself, and I. So let me, I'm not good at memorizing, so let's just go. Listen to how this reads. The man says, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, you know how Jesus likes to repeat things to make a point. So the point isn't having wealth. The point isn't doing good at your job and being remunerated for it. Jesus's point is to call us to struggle with not only how much is enough, but what do we do with the abundance that we have been given, especially if we believe in the countercultural idea of our faith that all abundance comes from God, not just our blood, sweat, and tears. God gifted you with the ability to do a job. God gifted you with the ability to be born at this place and this time. God gifted you the ability to be wise about what you have been given, but God is also calling you to be accountable and to not be about me, myself, and I. That's the true problem with the wealthy man in this story. There is no talk about community. There is no talk, were my laborers fairly paid, and should I share my wealth with them? Do my neighbors have a place to store their grain? Are there others who are going hungry? Are there others who need a place to live? What am I doing? What are we doing with what we have been given? And so Jesus calls us to wrestle with that. And the other thing that Jesus calls us to wrestle with is putting our faith in things. And I've preached about this many times in my years here, because it is a struggle, especially if you just saw my Facebook page this week. My car got totaled while sitting at the dealership, in case you don't know. As I am finishing my sermon, right? Funny Jesus. My things. But it also allowed me to laugh. Because we can't put our faith in our brand new car, or our house, or our retirement savings, or our jobs. Our faith lies with one another, united in God's love. And that's what Jesus is preaching about today, is being aware of your community, not just yourself. Being aware that you are part of a larger good and a larger call to care for one another, to be attentive to one another, to use what you have, whether it is wealth of talent and knowledge or money, or time, and to use that for God's good, not just for your own comfort. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you, as I think I've already said, that money is bad and Jesus is good, although not too far off sometimes. But what Jesus is trying to say is that money is not going to fill us up. Money is not truly what we're going to care about at the end of the day, although, yes, it is nice to know that your loved ones may be taken care of. I agree with that. But as my friend, the Bishop of Chicago, likes to say, nobody ever saw a U-Haul following a hearse now, did they? Jesus is calling us to struggle with what is important in our lives and how do we prioritize. Every year when we do stewardship, well, for the past few years when we do stewardship, we get to the Sunday where we ask you all to get out the little chart and to look at how much you make and how much you give, and then we ask you to grow one step. And I cannot tell you how many people come and tell me, some of you are sitting here today, I smiled when I saw you walking into church, Reverend Rachel, I hate that. Why do we have to do it every year? I'm not going to change anything. And I'm like, and that's why we do that. Because if nothing else, it calls us to struggle with where our faith and where our everyday life merge and meet. God calls us to wrestle with that fact. And yes, I will tell you, if you have given the same thing year in and year out, then you should be struggling with that. If your 401ks have done well in the stock market in the past few years, or if you've gotten promotions at work, or if whatever it is, God does call us to account for the riches richness that we have been given in all ways. And that's really what Jesus is asking us to do today. And I am not standing here to shame anyone. I am asking all of us to just be faithful in that conversation with God. That's what Jesus wants from us today. Not to shame us or blame us or to call us to account. He doesn't even call the man greedy. He says, be careful of greed, but he doesn't even say that about this person. And so, this is a reminder that none of us are self-reliant. None of us live life on our own. None of us exists in isolation, no matter how much money or wealth or stuff we have. The truth is, we're reliant around the people around us. We're reliant on our community to check in on us, to pray for us, to walk with us, to be sad with us, to be joyful with us. And the truth is, we're reliant on God. And the abundance that we have been given is meant to be spread and to be shared among everyone, because that's how the abundance of God flows in God's economy. So I ask you to take this gospel home with you this week. Wrestle with it. Have a conversation with God about it. And lean into your faith. Amen.